Namah Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine
Thank you.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Vishnu Viraya Krishna Prasthaya Budhaya Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Siddharane Om Agyana Tivanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vasakan Svitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patiranam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadwaiti Gadad Har Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, text number 8, called Yoga of the Supreme Person. Shri Shri Ram Yadavapnop Ti Yat Chap Yukramati Shraha Krihi Vaitani Samyati Vayor Gandan Ivashayat. The living entity of the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Please repeat, the living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Srila Prabhupada's purport, here the living entity is described as Ishvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade, and if he likes, he can move to a lower class. Minute independence is there. The change his body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or a dog, he's sure to change to a cat's or dog's body. And if he has fixed his consciousness on godly qualities, he will change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka, and the spiritual world will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the annihilation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and his present body and present activities are the background of his next body. One gets a different body according to karma, and he has to quit this body in due course. It is stated here that the subtle body, which carries the conception of the next body, develops another body in the next life. This process of transmigrating from one body to another and struggling while in the body is called karshati, or a struggle for existence. So the text again. Shri Ram Yadavapnoti Yatschapyukramati Shraha Krihi Vaitani Samyati Vayor Ganda Iva Shayat. The living entities in this material world carries these different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air carries aroma. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskadyade Siddharne. The philosophy in Bhagavad Gita is actually quite simple. It only has two parts to it. But it's not so easy to realize the parts, because they're too simple. And the material world means to make something simple very complicated. So the simple thing is that, as Krishna's thoughts, the Bhagavad Gita, is that all of us are eternal spiritual souls. We can overlook that very easily throughout our daily lives. But the fact is that although we're going through different material experiences, the soul, ourselves, we're not actually changing. What's changing is our experience. And out of all the different aspects of experience, our conception of life is the most important. One who's in the material concept of life, then obviously he's going to become either elated or disturbed by his different material circumstances. So that elation and that disturbance, that attachment to the elation and disturbance, is a cause of future material conditioning and bodies. So one has to see things from a different point of view, beginning with recognizing that actually we're eternal, and that if we want our best interest, it must be on some platform in which we're able to realize our eternality. Whether we're aware of it or not, most of our endeavors are to survive in the material world. People are working hard, hoping that by the results of their work, they're going to be able to survive. Namely, their body will survive, because if they think their body survives, then they survive. And if they think their body doesn't survive, they don't survive. So this is better known as illusion. But since the whole material world is working on illusion, therefore we think that it's proper. It's our duty to work in illusion. We think it's normal. But actually it's a very unfortunate normal, because everyone who's in that normal has to be eternally suffering. It's good to be eternal, but it's not good to suffer eternally. Now, there is an alternative to that. We should understand that we're eternal, but then we should know the activities by which we can realize that we're eternal. So Bhagavad Gita speaks about the different kinds of activities that are possible to advance towards purifying our consciousness so that we can actually realize who we are. Most of the suggestions in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna doesn't accept because they're just not practical for us. That for one who's in the material world, struggling for a material existence, most of the types of yoga mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita are not very practical. Most of us cannot meditate. Most of us cannot go through great austerities, cultivate knowledge, try to hear things perfectly through austerity and learning Sanskrit and delving through scriptures for many decades. Therefore, what's recommended is practically to understand things properly by hearing from the right source. The right thing properly is that just understanding that we're not this body is certainly helpful, but to understand what the soul is meant to do with the body, that's the most helpful. Namely, that not only we're not this body, but there's actually a supreme person. And we have a connection with that supreme person. Either we can work according to his direction and utilize our resources, whatever resources we have, in his service, or we utilize our resources according to the dictation of the particular consciousness that we're subjected to at the present moment. In other words, to find out that first of all, there is a supreme person, and that he does have desires, he does have some purpose. This whole creation that he's created has a purpose. It wasn't created by accident. It wasn't created whimsically. It was created with the purpose of giving us the opportunity to become conscious again of that supreme person. Now, the advantage of becoming conscious of that supreme person is that he is the reservoir of pleasure. We could say the reservoir of loving pleasure. Anything that comes actually becomes conscious of Krishna in the full sense, they automatically can experience their natural loving propensity also, their natural propensity for happiness and pleasure. Just like a little spark, when it's actually in the fire, then it glows very brightly. But outside the fire, its glowing propensity becomes dull and doesn't glow so nicely. As a matter of fact, if that spark falls on water, practically speaking, it becomes extinguished. When it falls on land, it becomes smoldering. When it falls into dry grass, it may ignite another fire. And when it's actually in the original fire, then it glows very brightly. So please be quiet. So, in this Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches us how to simply utilize our energies and utilize it for his purpose. His purpose is very benevolent. He wants everyone to understand their relationship with him. And that's all he really wants. He doesn't really need any big changes in the material world. There's enough changes going on. They have nothing to do with the soul. But when the soul understands his relation with Krishna and voluntarily utilizes these resources in Krishna's service, then Krishna becomes happy and reveals himself. The problem with the material world is we think everything things that we have under our influence, we think belong to us, to utilize according to our whatever our senses and mind dictate to us. And we're making plans to get more of the material nature, so that's also being dictated to us. But this is not a good idea because there's an energy called illusion, and we've been arrested by illusion. And what is the symptom of that we've been arrested by illusion? In that we're now misidentifying ourselves with our prison. We may think it's a nice prison, but after all, it's a prison. And I said at class some years ago, so I can repeat it now because probably everyone forgot it, that we wake up in the morning and we look in the mirror and we ask the mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest of them all? And of course the mirror says, my dearest soul, after many births of pious activities, you now have darshan of the deity in the mirror. So now you must serve that deity. Dedicate your entire energy, your life, to serving the deity and being inspired by such a vision and realization. Then if we're a little pious, we take a shower in the name of doing abhishek to the deity. Then we dress the deity, we decorate the deity, we put perfume on the deity, we bathe the deity, and then we prepare different kinds of food to offer to the deity. And then we go out into the world to spread the glories of the deity everywhere in the world, and we call that Sankirtan. We want everyone to worship and love and appreciate our deity. But actually our deity is a prison. And we've been captured by this deity, by this prison, and we're trying to decorate it, we're trying to make it a nicer prison. But after all, in the course of time, the prison crumbles on us, and then they're thrown out of the prison, we're put into another prison, transferred to another prison. Therefore, one should become aware of the fact that material existence means to be in a prison, and we should make the best use of it by surrendering to the government. The universal government, which and the law of the universal government, is that everything here belongs to Krishna or God, and everything has to be utilized in Krishna's service, or else we'll be arrested for stealing. And our punishment will be to identify ourselves with this prison, and we'll be tortured by the different miseries that go along with identifying with the body, namely old age, disease, death, and then having to take another body again and suffer the same terms of old age, disease, death, and birth again. Plus, there's so many other miseries. The weather is sometimes good and sometimes bad. Sometimes there's a hurricane. Sometimes there's a tornado. Sometimes it's freezing cold. Sometimes there are other living entities, they're harassing us. Maybe it's mosquitoes or bed bugs or people are calling us ill names. And our body itself is full of disease, problems. We're always uneasy in a material body. We're taking so many vitamins, going to so many doctors and chiropractors to try to adjust the miseries that come along with having a material body. And in the meantime, we're trying to enjoy. In the material world, faced with so many problems, we're trying to squeeze out a little of enjoyment. But this is exactly the same as if we're an airplane flying over to India. Just like as I said before, but just like we gave everyone here a free ticket to fly to India for the next festival, which is Gaur Purnim. So how many of our guests here would accept a free ticket to fly to India for Gaur Purnim? So luckily we have Shyama Sundapuru here and we have Nityananda Chandra here and they're quite wealthy and usually they just give away free tickets, so you just ask them. I'm sure they'll give you one or maybe all for your family. if you can find him after the class. So just imagine we're flying over to India, and the pilot makes an announcement and says, Hare Krishna. Welcome to Air Hare Krishna. We hope you enjoy the flight. We have a 16-course feast from Kalachandri's restaurant. We hope you enjoy it. There's 4 curd sabjis, halva, samosas, gulab jamun, sweet rice, and pizza. Kalachandri's pizza. So we hope you enjoy the flight. And also we have a film called Hare Krishna's Taking Prasadam on Gaur Purnim in India. The pilot only gave us one small other announcement. Unfortunately, somehow or another, who's ever supposed to put the gas into the airplane only gave half as much money as necessary to get to India. So unfortunately, in a half an hour, this plane will crash into the ocean. And I think you'll probably all be killed. But don't worry about it. Because we have first-class servers on board, and they promise us they'll be able to serve out practically the whole feast before we crash. And besides that, the movie is only an hour long, so I think you'll be able to hear us see at least half. And if you really like it, then pray to Krishna so that you'll come back and you'll be able to see the other half. So we hope you enjoy the rest of the flight. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So we're in a body that's going to crash today or tomorrow, and we're trying to be happy in the meantime. But actually, everyone is in anxiety. That's why they look both ways before they cross the street and hope that no one's going to hit them from behind. So life means karshati, a struggle to survive, and no one survives. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchanti, yamalayam, sheshastavar, ichchanti, kemaschayam, atakpuram. The most amazing thing is that although everyone here can see that so many living entities are entering into the jaws of death every day or every moment, but still those who remain behind think that they're going to stay here forever. So one should understand, first of all, that we're eternal and we have an opportunity to realize our eternality if we utilize this human form of life properly. Then we can actually get real peace. We can actually get real prosperity, a real goal in life, which will be worthwhile achieving. Otherwise, to get a goal of life, to put another $1 million into the bank at the time of death won't help us. We may be satisfied that my children will get that $1 million so they can work hard and put another $1 million in the bank too for their children. But actually, that will not save us at the time of death from having to take another body. And according to this, according to what we do in this lifetime, we'll be given another body. We may not choose it, but that's what we'll be given. But we can choose, if we want to utilize this human form of life to take to the process by which we can realize our eternality, our eternal identity in relationship to the Supreme Person by utilizing our energies according to his desire. So, of course, he's made in this age the beginning, quite simple, he's requested everyone in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then if we utilize our energies in Krishna's service, then the result will be that the chanting will be able to actually experience that, or we'll be able to chant more sincerely because we'll actually be engaging our energies in his service. We'll actually be serving him, and therefore we'll chant more sincerely, and we'll be able to realize how gradually realize how Krishna is present in his name, and how his name, Krishna, Hare Rama, they'll reciprocate our desire to love them, and we'll be able to experience their presence. Their infinite, ever-expanding, loving ecstasy that they themselves and their associates are feeling eternally. So we wanted to have that opportunity because by such an experience, we can realize our actual identity identity of everyone else in this universe. But at least by realizing our own identity and everyone's identity that we come in contact with, we'll know how to act properly with every living entity in such a way as to benefit them, eternally benefit them at every moment, and benefit ourselves also. We'll be able to do good for ourselves and actually good for others. Otherwise, it's very doubtful, without giving people Krishna consciousness in this age, that we're actually doing them any good, either ourselves or anyone else. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. So Maharaj, you explained about, you know, chanting the holy name, and that's what can help us get back home, back to Godhead. So can you please share, how can we chant sincerely?
How can we chant? Well, as I said, we have to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Of course, even if we don't understand the philosophy, still the chanting will have some effect. But when we understand the philosophy, we'll know how to act in such a way in this world, because that is our philosophy, and that we'll become qualified to actually associate with Krishna. Krishna and his name are non-different, but our realization of Krishna will depend upon how we're acting. Just like if you put an iron in the fire, then the iron will become hotter and hotter and hotter, and it'll become just like the fire eventually. But if the iron is not in the fire, then it'll cool off. Similarly, if we dovetail our activities with the desire of Krishna and his representatives, then the result is that we'll be in the fire of Krishna consciousness, and gradually when we chant Hare Krishna, we'll become qualified to realize Krishna's presence. So there are certain activities which will help us. There are certain activities that will not help us. So that's explained by, in our philosophy, to go over all these details would probably not be appropriate for a Sunday feast class. But there is a science to make ourselves qualified. And most of that science means that we've become free from our tendency to imagine ourselves to be something that we're not, and to, instead of serving the Supreme Person, serving illusion, a material conception of life. Instead of serving the Supreme Person, we serve a material concept of life, trying to make progress in our material experience here without any reference to the fact that this world is not our world. It actually is the world of the Supreme Person, and it's meant to be utilized in his service. On the other hand, we can engage in seemingly ordinary activities, but if we dovetail them for the interest of the Supreme Person, then they no longer, we consider them to be ordinary, but they become spiritualized by adding Krishna to them. Just like if you have a whole bunch of zeros and you add them up, then all you get is zero. But if you put a one before them, then the number becomes quite large. So similarly, if we add Krishna to our lives and to our activities, then they become spiritualized. And when our activities are spiritualized, then we become qualified to chant Hare Krishna in such a way as to actually experience Krishna's presence. Just like if you want to enter into fire, you have to become like fire. If you want to enter into the water, you have to become like water. So if we want to enter into the consciousness of Krishna, we have to become like Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
We can't hear you. Hold on.
All of us living entities within material bodies are doing things. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the person's not the doer, but everything's being carried out by nature or by Krishna's energy. So how much is... But so I was wondering, the living entity, us, we think that we're doing everything. But Krishna says we're not doing anything. So what are we doing? You know what I mean?
Krishna doesn't say we're not doing anything. Obviously, we're alive. He says we're not the doer of the activities carried out by the modes of nature. But then in the 18th chapter, he says we're one of the factors that are that participate in the accomplishment of any kind of work. So what we're doing is desiring. And our desire has a big influence on what goes on. As a matter of fact, because Krishna didn't create the material world in his interest, he only created it to fulfill the desires of living entities. So according to how we're desiring and what we deserve, therefore the material nature is arranged by him to accommodate our desires and our merits. So if we desire spiritually, then we get a spiritual result. If we desire materially, according to the type of material desire that we have, then we'll get a type of material result. So desires are not independent. In other words, along with the material body, we got a whole set of desires due to our past activities and past desires. And they're programmed to appear at certain times. So according to our attachment to them or aversion or attachment to something higher than them, therefore we get a certain result. Simply due to our attachments and aversions to our material desires or our choosing superior desires, spiritual desires. So those spiritual desires come down from Krishna through his representatives. So we try to fulfill the desires of the superior representatives of Krishna, then we get a spiritual result. And if we try to fulfill the desires of our senses and mind and other people's desires as they programmed us, then we get the appropriate result. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Ananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Krishna Hare Hare.
Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande Haribol.